6th Ward City Councilman Will Forgrave has a neighborhood meeting tonight. Although it will be virtual, it will still be a meeting that you can participate in. Will joins us. We haven't talked to him in a while. And since we did, he has become a father. Wow. Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks, Greg. I appreciate it. It's crazy. She's her baby daughter, Elida. She's almost 3 months old. And she is definitely a handful. You know, everybody tells you what to expect with a newborn, but nothing can you prepare you for it, of course. So it's a beautiful thing, though.
Yeah, it's hard to prepare for. You'll learn every day. You'll learn some new tricks.
No doubt. So, to your point, I'm having a neighborhood meeting tonight at 6:30. It is virtual, and the links are available on my Facebook page, on the city's Facebook page, and on the city's website. And I was hoping to meet in person to talk about the budget, but just timing-wise and where we are with COVID, I just felt more comfortable doing it virtually, just go around. But I do plan on meeting in person again soon. The last time I had a neighborhood meeting was over a year ago, I believe it was in March of last year.
Think the council will get back to normal meetings pretty soon?
I hope so. I'd like to see us do that sooner rather than later. We've extended virtual through, at least giving us the option of doing it through the fall, but we can always change that.
Yeah, you can social distance also.
Right. And that was a big reason we haven't. Leading up to this, as council chambers is the biggest room in City Hall. We could always find other places to do it, I think, of course, and hopefully get back to doing things in person, like a lot of other places are. It is nice to see us doing that, and it has been, over a year now.
Mm-hmm.
The library included, which is someplace I work as well.
Yeah. We'll get a couple questions in on the library here in a second, but obviously you guys have been addressing the budget here for a while now. I'm sure that's one of the topics you'll be addressing, or you leave it?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll be touching on three things. The first thing I'll be touching on is the urban farming ordinance that we'll be bringing forward probably in the next couple of months, just as a kind of, it's a little bit lighter than the budget, so we'll do an appetizer of the urban farming ordinance, and then definitely be talking about the budget, which we'll be voting on tomorrow, as well as included in that budget, as I'm sure you've talked about quite a bit, is the lead line replacement costs and the water rates associated with that. That's something I want to talk to everybody about prior to voting on it, of course.
Why the urban farming? Why are you going there?
Well, I think it's something we're going to be talking about soon, and I think it's something that a lot of people in the 6th Ward, especially, want to see. I've been hearing from constituents when I was knocking doors a year and a half, 2 years ago, running for office. I was surprised at the number of people that brought it up without me bringing it up.
Uh-huh.
Apparently people want to have chickens in the city. But there's definitely some people on the opposite side of that spectrum, too, I believe, that maybe wouldn't like to see something like that. So I just want to gauge everybody's interest on it and see where they're at. I've read the ordinance, of course. It's been percolating around City Hall and some circles right now. It's been about 2 or 3 years since it was drafted, and generally speaking, I'm in favor of it. Personally, I like it. There's a couple of things I'd change about it, just being nitpicky, but I do like it.
What reaction have you got from voters? Are they is it all about chickens, basically? Is that the big deal?
Well, it's chicken and bees. So right now, the way it's drafted, and of course we haven't voted on it one way or another yet on the city council, but it would allow 3 chickens and 1 beehive on owner-occupied properties, which of course that means rental properties that wouldn't be allowed on, and it wouldn't allow roosters, I think for obvious reasons. I like waking up early, but not that early. And then... you know, it would require the consent of property owners within 100 feet of the property that wants to do it. And all of those, I think, are good. I think those are good provisions, just making sure that people around you are okay with it. And allowing geese and chickens, I think, is a great idea. It's something that other communities do in the state. And it's nice to see us at least talking about it, if not doing it in the future. Like I said, there are a couple of things I'd like to change about it. I believe as it's written now, like I said, this is just nitpicky, but and this may be just a typo, but as it's written now, it says that every permit expires December 31st of every year. So if I were to get permitted to do this in October, it would last, you know, for 2 months. I think it should be from a year from when you get the permit, of course.
Sure.
And then it also doesn't allow us to, if we were to have chickens or a beehive, it doesn't allow us to sell eggs or honey the way it's written, which if you're going to be jumping through hoops to make a city permitted beehive or chicken coop, I don't see any reason why you couldn't sell it, in my opinion. But again, that's just my opinion. I do want to gauge my neighbors about it tonight and keep talking to people. People are welcome to call me, of course, see me out and about, and just gauge everybody's interest about these things before I vote on them.
I like my chicken in a bucket.
Sure, sure. That's the other thing about the ordinance. I do think this is smart. It wouldn't allow people to butcher the chicken, at least on city property. I don't know, especially with a daughter now, I don't know if I'd want to see have her see that. You know, over the fence. So, but, you know, allowing three chickens, I don't know a lot about chickens, admittedly, but I do know that they can lay up to one egg a day. And if you have a small family, if it's just, you know, like me, if it's just two or three of us, an egg a day from three chickens, you're going to have a lot of chickens, you're going to have a lot of eggs. And that's something I think you should be able to sell if you want to.
What are your thoughts on the budget, Will?
Well, of course, there's a lot of things to talk about on this one. Admittedly, you know, raising water rates or sewer rates is never something that we can be happy about. But I think in this case, it's something we can be proud of. You know, I'm sure as you remember, a year ago, we were talking about, my predecessor and the city manager's predecessor were talking about raising water rates anywhere from 88% to 116%. To pay for the lead line replacement, and now we're talking about anywhere from 12 to 24. So again, 12 to 24% isn't anything to be happy about, but when 2 years ago everybody said the sky was falling, I'm happy to see that we came back and cooler heads are prevailing in this case.
Nobody likes any water increase, certainly.
Sure, sure. But it was nice to see when Jonathan Green, the city manager, Jonathan Green, was appointed. One of the first things he suggested and we had been clamoring for was to actually perform a field study to see how much it would cost to replace these lead lines. So they did, I believe, six or seven actual lead line replacements, and they did it with DPW employees. Saw how long it took them, saw how much it would cost, and then we also got bids from contractors as well, and that was a big reason, probably the number one reason we were able to lower the cost, is that we can do it with DPW employees for a lot cheaper than contractors can do it, which is good to see, of course. So that's something that I'm happy to support. Again, when 2 years ago we were talking about more than doubling everybody's water rate, This is welcome news, as crazy as that sounds.
So if you have a question, comment about the budget or chickens or whatever, 6:30 tonight on the Zoom network, and Will be there. And do you have any guests joining you, Will?
Yeah, it'll be me and city manager Jonathan Green.
Okay.
And we'll go over... Again, we'll go over the highlights of all this, some of the lowlights, and then, of course, we'll take questions and concerns from everybody, and I'm looking forward to it. Like I said, it's been a while since I've done it. I prefer to do these in person, but after a year of not being able to, and a budget vote coming up, I thought this was important.
So at the library, I know what you're back to being able to browse in there at least for a certain period of time.
We are, yeah. Again, that's been over a year or two. That's really exciting. So Monday, well, May 17th, exactly a week ago, we returned to normal hours and allowed everybody to start browsing again. For the last at least 13 months, maybe 14 months, we've had people put books on hold and then simply pick them up. So you were allowed to walk into the library, grab your material, and walk out. You weren't able to walk through the stacks, which I know is something that a lot of people like to do. But we are allowing that again, which is definitely welcome news. And to your point, like you said, we're allowing that up to an hour. There are still some capacity restrictions because of COVID. Mm-hmm. So we want to make sure that everybody, especially at our smaller branches, we can filter everybody through. Because some of those capacities at our smaller branches are anywhere from even 4 to 5 people. So if we can get people in and out, people won't have to be waiting outside to come in and browse like they'd like to. And then, of course, we're allowing people to use public computers as well for about an hour. So
you can't,
that's where we're at now, and hopefully that'll, again, be lifted even more in the future.
You can't sit around and read then, right?
I believe, you know, don't quote me on this. I'm not entirely sure. I think you're allowed to be in the library for an hour, so I don't see any problem with you deciding to read for an hour. So, but the biggest thing people were asking for was they wanted to be able to browse materials and mm-hmm. window shop, so to speak. So that is what we're telling.
Then you're also teaming up with JTA. Talk about that.
Yeah, this is pretty cool. We've been working with the Jackson Area Transportation Authority for about maybe 3 months now, 4 months. And something the library's always wanted to do is to increase internet access in the community and help people who need these sort of things. So we are, with the help of the Jackson Area Transportation Authority, putting hotspots, internet hotspots on all of their buses, for all of their 9 bus routes. So far I think they've installed 7 of the 18 hotspots that'll go on their buses, and they should have the rest installed, by the end of the summer, early fall. And that'll be provided, by the library, by us. So that's something that's free, if you're ever on a JATA bus. Within the city limits, you should be able to access Wi-Fi free of charge.
Good partnership there.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely something that we had been talking about for a while, and I was happy we were able to pull the trigger.
So how's that? How are those diapers going?
The diapers are going. It's pretty crazy. You know, I never changed the diaper my entire life. Until I had my own daughter, and of course, well, I didn't have her, of course, but until my wife had her daughter, and, it's just, you fall in line and you do what you need to do, and it's really second nature right off the bat. I even changed some of the first diapers, which, as people who've had kids before probably know, those are the worst so far, man. I mean, that may change, of course, in the future, but it's a wild ride, man. It's a lot of fun.
Well, good luck to you and your wife.
Thanks, Greg. I appreciate it.
Take care, Will.